You are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Amara Gay.
OMG, it's the Omara Gayle Radio Show, and I'm your host, Mara Gayle, actress, author, and evangelist. And you know what I love to do? I love to help people see things differently. You see, I enjoy when a perspective is widened, when views are enlarged, because you'll then have more angles so that you can make a better decision. I have been blessed with experience in all sorts of areas, and I believe in my heart and soul that we all live and learn in order to share and teach. I love serving Maravation. It's the perfect blend of motivation and inspiration. You see, I believe some of the greatest people in the world are only one word of encouragement away from being or doing something meaningful. I think that if more people would get outside of themselves and their situations and just look up, call up, or speak up and into the lives of others, we would experience a more productive world around us. So part of why I do this radio show, OMG, the Omara Gayle Radio Show, is to be that bridge, that conduit, that connector that takes you from where you are to where it is you want to be. And tonight, I am super excited because one of my longtime good girlfriends is on the call, and you get the privilege of eavesdropping on a conversation. My special guest tonight is known as Coach Adams, but let me give you a little bit about her. She's a native of Los Angeles, and she has been walking in her purpose since 1998. And I've got some stories about that that we'll probably open up and dive into, but I want to drive by a couple of things that she's done. She's a coach from Coach University, coach training participant. She's a minister of training and a master trainer at Boss the Movement and Boss Global Incorporated, where they teach youth ages 7 to 18 on the relevance of God's word in meeting one's need for success through the Boss Movement curriculum. She's also a licensed minister from Central Bible Church, which is where we met. So would you please be so kind, put your hands together for a virtual hand clap for my good girlfriend, Shania Marie Adams, also known as Coach Adams. Welcome to OMG, Coach.
OMG, thank you for having me on OMG.
I'm so glad you were able to join me for tonight's show. You know, this has been a long time coming, and me and you have had many of conversations. I remember one in particular, us walking around a park, Fox Hills Park in California, in Culver City, and we were both flushing out our idea and our concept on what it would feel like to just do what we love to do full time. And here we are, fast forward all of these years, and we've been walking in those gifts ever since. Isn't Daddy awesome?
Daddy is truly awesome. We can go on and on about Daddy because it is only by his grace that we are on the journey that we are on today. And so, yes, he is awesome, phenomenal, amazing. I can go on, but I won't.
He all of that in a bag of chips, a good bag of chips or a box of Krispy Kreme donuts. But I know tonight's segment, we're going to unpack words, you know, and the importance or the power, I should say, of words. And I know you've got a lot of stuff in your toolkit that you're going to drop and share with our listeners. So we're going to get into that. But before we get really into the meat of tonight's topic, I just want to back up just a little bit so that people can kind of understand some of the things you've grown through, some of the things that you've lived through. So if you could just share maybe one or two stories with our listeners so that they understand, you know, people see where you are today, Shania. They see the accomplishments you have. I've even seen the fancy rides you drive, you know, and people think that it happened overnight. But what they don't know is, you know, as with all of our journeys, we've had some dark days, we've had some lean times, we've had some dark moments in our life, and it is nothing but the grace of God and the favor of God that propels us to purpose. But in order to get to purpose, most of us had to go through pain lane. So is there a challenge or a story or a situation that took place in your past that you might be able to share as a testimony to help encourage some of the listeners that may be going through something today?
Absolutely. And, you know, I thank you for asking, because it is important for people to understand the backdrop. And the backdrop is always important because it shapes and molds us into who we are today. And so my revelation, my insight into this topic that we're talking about, the power of words, literally happened as a little girl. As a baby, I was born with eczema, or eczema as one may pronounce it, tomato, tomato. And because of that, my skin was really bad as a little girl growing up. And I remember very specifically in school as a little girl getting teased because of the condition of my skin. And I had this image that I recall so clearly, that it was almost like I was in this prison and I could hear myself saying, but that's not who I am, because of the negative words that were being spoken around the outer shell, the condition of my skin. And that was an early lesson on the significance of words. And, you know, I used to hear, and we've all heard, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. When I heard that, I knew better. I didn't quite understand it, but I knew better because of the early stages of my journey. I mean, I can tell you story after story, my dad being diagnosed with esophageal cancer and the doctors having to tell him that you may not make it off of the table, and the effects of those few words to him really and truly created fear in him. And so along my journey, I've become more sensitive because of my early personal experience, my situation, and walking through that with my dad on my journey of different trials and tribulations, and understanding that there is great significance in the words that we speak, because the words that we are all words, we're individuals, that every single word that was spoken into us, negative or positive, have shaped who we are. And I actually call it our emotional bank account. It has become our emotional bank account. So those are just a couple of little stories that have truly impacted my life and helped me to understand at a different level the significance of how powerful words are.
You know, as you were sharing your childhood recollection of, you know, the labels, I call them labels. You know, we have a film out called STEM the Movement, and a part of our campaign is, you know, don't wear the labels that people put on you. Everything is purposeful. Nothing is personal. But when we're a kid, we don't know the difference between words that break us down and words that could build us up. And so one of the takeaways that even just in that sharing that I got, that I want to deposit and make sure that I highlight and unpack a little bit for our listeners, is, don't wear labels that don't apply. If you want to give yourself a label of something you want to call yourself and you want to wear that, that's fine. But don't let other people put on you something that does not fit, something that is ill-fitting, uncomfortable, or like an annoying or nagging tag in a shirt, a blouse, or a jacket. If something is annoying, a fabric is annoying your skin, you want to remove it quickly. You want to cut it out quickly. And so for those that are listening that may have heard some negative comments or been told some negative things, and you've been wearing some labels since you were younger, or even in your adult life, we get labeled all kinds of things. We want to encourage you to take off that garment of label. And if it does not identify you with what God says you are and who God says you are, then you need to release yourself from that. Cut that tag off. Cut that word off. Mute the sound of the people that said that. You know, when I was younger, somebody told me I couldn't sing, Shania. I used to sing for a living. I made money singing. I toured singing. But one somebody whom I had given way too much power in my life told me at one moment when they heard me singing that I couldn't sing. And for some reason, whatever reason it was, their voice began to override all that I knew about myself, all the vocal coaches that I had worked with, all the weddings that I had sang in. But that one person's voice rang so loud that it drowned out those other voices. And it wasn't until I realized the hold and the power I had given that particular person's word that I was able to overcome it and cut those words and mute my ears to what I was hearing. And I've been gradually and boldly, as a matter of fact, you saw me at one of the Boston Movement, I think, Vertical Leap sessions, where I was telling people, you know, I used to sing, and I boldly stood up and I sang at that event. And people thought I was fudging because they said I sounded so well. They were like, surely I knew I could sing. But they didn't know that story, that someone's words had made me doubt the gift that God had given me. So I thank you for your transparency and your honesty on that matter, because you're absolutely right. Words are lasting, and sticks and stones, they say, will break your bones, and words won't hurt you, but we know that to be a lie. Words will do more damage sometimes than the broken bones, because the bones will set and heal, but the words sometimes rest on our heart drive. That's our heart, H-E-A-R-T drive. And once something lays on your heart drive, it's really hard to scrub it clean. So with that being said, I thank you for it. You are part of a book called The Change, and the caption is Insights into Self-Empowerment. And your chapter, hallelujah, your chapter in the book is called The Power of Words. So I want you to kind of unpack, you don't have to unpack the book per se, but some of the nuggets and tips you would like to leave with our audience. I know you have some questions that you ask people. Have they ever wonder, you know, why do they do the things they do, or why do they react the way they react, or why do they think the way they think, and so on. So if you would share from your heart some of the tools in your toolkit and some of the reasons why you come to value your words and why you choose them so wisely.
Well, you know, it is truly a result of my exposure and experiences on my journey, starting with what we just talked about a short moment ago, as a little girl, and as I stated earlier, you know, crying out, understanding that I'm not this person that you are trying to make me out to be because of the condition of my skin. And so this understanding that each and every one of us, we are a living manifestation, and we are made up of each and every word. We are a product of each and every word that has been spoken into our lives. And as you were saying earlier, negative or positively. And so this understanding that words truly have power, many would say, oh, words don't really mean anything, but they do, because each word that is spoken will determine what we will or will not achieve, who we become or not, what we believe or not. And so there is great power in words. And so one of the things that I want to challenge individuals to understand, that we are not the product of our words. We do not have to live out those words that were spoken, as you were stating. We can change our story. It is important to understand the effect of those words and how they are hindering us. But we do not have to be those words that were spoken. Because for me, and you, I mean, many people don't even know this, because it wasn't until being a part of the Change book and writing this chapter on the power of words that I even shared some of my story that was shared, because it was so intimately personal for me. And I'm very private. My mom often reminds me, "You're so private." And I am. But I knew that it was important to share my story so that others can be encouraged. Because it wasn't until I was in my late 20s that I would even wear short sleeves, show my arms, you know, let alone, oh my gosh, short pants or anything like that. I always was fully covered up because of growing up with this condition. People would say, "Oh, you're so pretty," or "You're this, you're beautiful." And I didn't believe those words. It wasn't until literally in my mid-20s that I began to understand the effects of those words that were spoken, and I started to evaluate who am I from a different point of view. And there was this constant battle that was going on. I was struggling on the inside because of each and every word that had been spoken, because words frame our thoughts. They frame our beliefs, and in turn they affect, as we discussed a moment ago, what we achieve. And so we have to look at the words that have been deposited in our emotional bank account, but we're looking at them so that we now have a greater understanding of what's there, and now we can see, okay, where do I need to make a shift? So I then realize I have to now, if someone tells me, "Oh, you're beautiful, you're pretty," whatever, embrace that word. Allow the negative words to now be shifted with positive words. And that was such a powerful revelation or insight and awareness that I gained, because it has truly shifted the landscape of where my life continues to grow. I'm still in process, but where I continue to grow.
You know, what's doubly wonderful about what you were saying is, I speak a lot of times to people about rewriting their script, rewriting their story, and allowing their life to be a reflection of the things they want to see happen instead of what someone told them either could or couldn't happen. Because when people label you or even talk to you, they're talking to you based on their own personal experience, based on their own level of success, and not necessarily what Daddy, God, it has in store for you or has planned for you. And so we have to, you said something, you said words frame our thoughts. You said taste the word. Well, you didn't say taste the words. You said look at the words. But I want to tell people the words that God says you are, and then discard, like you do in conversation. Sometimes you're having a conversation with somebody and something they're saying just doesn't sit right with you. We have to reject those things that just don't sit right with us, and more importantly, do not fit us. And I'm really good about when someone says, you know, "Hey, beautiful," you know, I have to say thank you. But there was a time, because like you, I didn't feel beautiful, when someone would say that to me, instead of embracing it as in and saying thank you for the compliment, I'd go, "Oh, you know, my hair is messed up," or, "You know, I got all these pimples on my face," or they'll say, "Well, that's a cute outfit," and I got to go into how long I've had it. How many times have you went up to a woman, complimented her on some shoes, "Girl, these shoes have been in my closet for 20 years, or complimented them on their hair or their nails, "Oh, my nails need refilling in," or, "Girl, my hair hasn't been done in 2 weeks," instead of the appropriate, proper response, which is thank you, and then we keep it moving. But what happens is how we look at ourselves in the mirror, or the knowledge that we have about our clothes, our hair, or our nails, begins to influence how we think the other person sees us. And the people that are looking at us, A, can't take a tour through our mind, that's a phrase my mom said, and B, they don't see our imperfections the way we do. We're harder on ourselves than other people will be when they're trying to issue a compliment. So I am really always ready. I replaced cursing and criticizing with compliments years ago, and it has served me well. And the whole entire relationship that I've known you and I both, we can go tit for tat for compliments, because we are in an overabundance of wanting to give and sow into one another beautiful words and the things that God says that we are. And we've been staunch supporters of one another's ministries, gifts, and calling, which is another reason why I was so excited that you were on the show tonight. So I'm going to give you another opportunity to unpack another one of the tools in your toolbox, but I want to first encourage our listeners, if you've got a question or a comment for Coach Adams or myself, please feel free to call in at 347-324-5246. Press 1, and you'll be entered into the queue. Again, the number is 347-324-5246. Okay, Coach, I'm going to go ahead and let you unpack another one of the tools on the ring of the ladder so that people can have an even greater understanding of how to use their words effectively.
Absolutely, and thank you, Mara Gale, our midwife and all of who you are. You know, one of the other things that I want to share is that, you know, this power of words, is this understanding and recognizing that words truly do determine what our limits or our possibilities are, how we perceive that. And I gained this revelation at a different level because many years ago, and I trust the audience recognizes this individual's name, I saw a story, a gentleman being interviewed, and he was in the NBA. His name is Muggsy Bogues. And he made such headlines when he became a part of the NBA because in the industry standards, he was very short to be, you know, a part of this franchise. You know, he didn't have that height. And I remember hearing him speak, and it really stood out to me as if I heard him, you know, just yesterday, because someone asked the question, something like, you know, well, who made you think, or what made you think you could be in the NBA? And his answer was so profoundly powerful, and it really connects with, and I use this illustration often, it really connects with what we are talking about in this moment. Because he said, no one ever told me I couldn't. And so therefore, he did not have the limits in his mind that others had based on the lack of height that naturally was evidently there. So it wasn't a big deal for him to just say, hey, there's no limits. Yes, I can do this. And for those that recognize the name, he went on and had a great career and did extremely well as a part of the NBA franchise. And so this is what we need to understand, that words are powerful because they will determine our limits or our possibilities. And we have the responsibility not only to, as you stated, and I use this term as well often, to taste those words, to examine, to evaluate the words that have been spoken. And when we're doing that, we are guarding our ear gates. Just because a word has been spoken, it doesn't mean that I have to own it and embrace it and hug it and take it on.
Right.
But
right.
I need to be aware.
And sleep with it at night. Snuggle
Absolutely.
With it in the bed.
Absolutely. Because,
you know,
the words
will start acting like a ping pong machine. It'll be like one of those arcade ball machines. It'll just be popping around in your mind. You will brainwash yourself with the words you've heard other people call you that God does not say you are. So why do we even limit ourselves, our thinking, with labels that aren't even what God says we are?
So true. So true. Mm. And, you know, it's frustrating at times because for others, not for me, But for others, mm-hmm. because I understand the power of words, and I'm not perfect, I'm still in process, I fight diligently to cautiously use my words, but also in alignment with what we're speaking, to be cautious about the words that I allow myself to listen to and that are deposited in me. Like, whatever the circumstances yeah. may be, I'm not speaking, I fight to not speak life to that negative. You know, even before
right.
I got this understanding, I was always an optimist. You know, you have some people that are just pessimistic. I don't care what's going on. They can't see the light at no tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
They can always see the doom, the gloom, the darkness.
Yes.
I fight
yes.
to see positive. And so because of that, I'm fighting to speak words that I know and understand, because words are life. Life and
yeah.
death is in the power of our tongue. That, you know, when we put it out there, it now becomes this little seed that now
yeah.
if it's watered, because if someone tells you, like we were talking about Muggsy Bogues, if someone would have told him, oh, you can't, there's that
right.
little seed. Somebody else will say, who do you think you are? Uh-oh, there's a little
mm-hmm.
water on that seed.
Mm-hmm.
And so because I understand that, you know, I don't want others' words to now become a seed and I'm allowing it to be watered. So we have to stay mindful that we have to guard what we listen to.
Yes.
Don't just let those words be spoken. Get out of those conversations that are not fueling what you believe at your core, whatever that may be. For me, it's the word of God. But whatever your belief system is, whatever's at your core, if it doesn't connect with you, cut that conversation off. Because that now becomes
yeah.
a seed. And if somebody else comes in and starts to water it, now it takes root.
Yeah.
And next thing you know,
you
have a little sunshine,
mm-hmm.
and it'll turn into a whole tree. And it really could have been cut off when it was a shrub. You know, I'm gonna piggyback on something about Muggsy Bogues real quick. You know, he was not only the shortest NBA player, and as you said and shared, he had a successful career from like 87 to 2001, but he also went on to coach. So imagine what those little kids who were short in stature were then being able to say, wow, he played for the NBA, I can play for the NBA. So now just his visual, the visual image of this short 5'3" young man then became a seed for some other young kid who maybe all of his friends were saying what you said, you know, who are you? You can't do this, or you're too short. And he said he had never heard it. But so many times we take those words that people say and we, like you said, we wear them. We go to bed with them. We layer them on. We even do the, as you were mentioning, conversations. You have to gird what you hear, the things that you hear. Also, the self-talk. Sometimes it's not even the external talk that people are saying to me. It's the talk that I was saying to myself. So what tips could you perhaps share with maybe some of our listeners who have to constantly, you know, mute their own thoughts or their own words and their own darkness or doubts in their mind? What kind of tool can you share with them how to overcome it? I know you said for you, you go to the word when you, you know, when you need to be filled again and build back up, and when you need good seeds sown into your spirit. What are some of the things you can tell someone who may be listening to the show who's having thoughts in their mind that are telling them, you know, you're nothing, you're a loser, or this is how it is, it's going to stay like this, and or, you know, whatever that negative, because the demon comes in all kinds of ways for different people, and it'll latch on to you watered or the sun shines on it, and then it grows bigger and bigger, and the next thing you know, you can't differentiate between God's thoughts and these dark thoughts?
Well, you know, that's a great question. And one of the things, sis, that I've learned over the years, and this is so key, that life has certain key ingredients. It's like a well-perfected recipe, and words is one of them. And words is a non-negotiable key ingredient because of the effect of words. And so we have to get the right words in us. Psychologists have stated that we receive one positive word to 25
mm-hmm. negative.
Negative. One positive word to 25 negative words. And I often share that because all of us, self included, we have a lot of stinking thinking because mm-hmm. of this overabundance of negative words that have been spoken. And so when we understand that words are a key ingredient to life, it's foundational, we now have to, in whatever way that looks like for us, we have to get positive words in us, be it through
yeah.
affirmations. For me, I stated it is the word of God. That's my foundation. But it doesn't have to be that if that's not what your belief system is. Positive words, affirmations,
yeah.
words that now you are starting to deposit in your emotional bank account, words that can now drown out the 25 negatives with that positive. What you're listening to is so key. We don't need
yeah.
a lot of words in us, but if we get the right words in us, it'll make a difference. So
yes,
I often in my coaching practice, I often tell individuals who are struggling in a particular area, get a few words, a word, a phrase that you can now, through repetition, you can see it, meaning you put it up where you can see it so you can read it, you're reciting it, you're reading it, because of the power of words. The more you speak that, then now it's going to begin to shift you from the inside out, and that's where the battle is. The battle is not from the outside, but it is those words from the outside that now take root on the inside. And so we have to begin to do this work from the inside out. So if someone said, you're never going to be anything, you have to look at yourself in the mirror. I hear, who? Michael Jackson. And I can't sing, so I don't even want to do that. But I'm looking at the man and woman
in the mirror.
I'm not going to even try to sing too. I'll let my girl do that for me. But we
if he wasn't nursing his throat. I'm a little raspy tonight, but you're right. We have to look in the mirror.
We have to look in the mirror. And we have to speak life to our life. So if someone said to you, you're never going to be anything, you have to look at that man or woman in the mirror and you have to say, I will be something. A word such as that will begin to shift you from the inside out. You will not believe it when you first speak it. But if you continuously
yeah.
speak it, something as simple as that, on a regular basis, and you put it up where you can see it so your eye gates are seeing it too, and now you're speaking it to yourself, over
yes.
time through repetition, you'll start to believe it.
Yeah. We call it fake it till you make it. It's a reinforced thought. You know, we talk about faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. The same thing with who you want to become and who God calls you or tells you you are. You have to see that thing before you, long before I was ever anything in the world's lens of life or the words in the world's definition of success. I was somebody to me, and I used to write on my mirror in lipstick. I would write on my mirror in lipstick and get it off with alcohol, not liquor alcohol, but rubbing alcohol. I would write it in big, bold letters so that it was impossible for me to look at my reflection without seeing who God says I was. Because there was a time in my life, dark time, where someone's words, just like the person who pierced caused me to have stinking thinking because they said I couldn't sing, I had someone else's words who had told me what their image or impression of me was. And those were the words that were drowning out my day-to-day. So I started counteracting that stinking thinking and those negative words by putting positive words and positive affirmations on a mirror in lipstick so that it blocked the view, the natural view of myself. And all I began to see was what God said I was. And I grew into that. And the more I grew into it, I'd get some rubbing alcohol and I'd race away another phrase because I could see myself wearing that label, as in, oh, I'm fearfully, wonderfully made, or whatever that phrase was. And the more I let it seep in my spirit, and the more I began to put on that garment that God was calling me to wear, I could erase those words off of that mirror in front of me until I could see myself the way that God saw me. So as I was stripping away the words, because I was wearing them, I was also visibly seeing a manifestation of the words that had been etched onto the mirror in lipstick. So it was a it was like I wrote it. So it was like I had that hand motion where I physically wrote it, and then I had the visual where I was seeing it on in lipstick on a mirror every day, block view of myself in order to see God's word and what he says I was, until I could actually see myself, because I was wearing the word in my heart and I was wearing the words in my mind. And but I had to fake it until I made it. I had to say those words even though I didn't feel like I was beautiful, even though I didn't feel like I was a success, and even though I wasn't walking in them originally, I was saying them, and then I kept saying them until I was like, you know what, I believe that, and then I'd erase one. And so that was one of the little steps that I did to gradually grow into who God had called me to be. We're going to take a little pause for the cause, Shania. When we come back, you guys, we'll finish our conversation, of course, with Coach Adams. But I want to remind you, if you're out there and you're struggling with the challenge of words, or you've got a story about how some words impacted or affected your life, or tried to derail you from your destiny, or if you simply have a question or a comment you'd like to make, feel free to call in. The number is 347-324-5246. Again, that's 347-324-5246. Press 1 to be added or entered into the queue. We'll be right back after this short commercial break. Thank you.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to OMG. You're listening to the Omar Gill Radio Show, and my special guest tonight is my sister friend, Shania Adams, affectionately known as Coach Adams. And Coach, I believe we have a caller on the line of your number, or 0101. You're on live on OMG with Coach Adams and Mara Gale. Welcome to the conversation.
Welcome to the conversation. Hello, Mara.
Hey there. How are you?
I'm good. It's Rosie Reed.
Sounds
hi,
like
Coach
Rose
Adams.
I was about to say.
Well, hello. Hello, Shania.
Hello.
I've really been enjoying the conversation.
I really
think it's important that you guys are having this conversation, because I've known so many people that live their lives basically based on what other people think of them and other people's opinions of them. And I'm constantly telling people, stop worrying about people who don't like you, because a lot of people don't even like themselves. So you can't give, you know what I mean? You can't give energy to that, because it's like incorrect information. And I came up with something for myself a while ago, a long time ago, and I just told myself, the thoughts and the opinions about me only have the power that I give to them. And that shuts it down for me, period.
Love
good.
It.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Love it.
Because we don't
that
realize how much
really good.
As people, I don't think we realize how much power we have. It can be a bad day, quote unquote, but as you can be going through craziness, and as soon as you just take a deep breath and say, okay, this is not the energy or the vibration I want, you can change it immediately. But a lot of people don't understand that power. They don't even know that it exists. So they just continue to be, they'll be miserable all day. But it's like something that you don't want to happen can happen at 10 o'clock, But by 10:05, you can have turned it around for you. The situation may not have changed, but your heart set, your mindset, your blood pressure, your brain wave, your vibration, we have the power to change that with the quickness. We don't have to sit in there for 5 minutes.
Teach. You better teach.
Thank you.
You,
you know,
because
a lot of times we don't know, you know, and oftentimes it's like last week when we were talking about, I remember saying last week in a comment that oftentimes our first bully is in our family before we even start kindergarten.
Yeah.
That's where most of us experience our first bullies. And oftentimes it's the same thing with family members. Like as a kid, I would really get upset when people, you know, Negroes give nicknames, but it's always a negative nickname. It's very seldom I hear somebody called, you know, cute face. You know what I'm saying? in our culture, you know, it's Blackie or Fatso or, you know, Big Tiny. It's like, that is, Big Tiny, that doesn't even make sense. Shut it up.
You know?
I mean, that's just an oxymoron.
Yeah.
But, you know, and you grow up
from the
time you're 4 years old being called Blackie or Fatty or Shorty. You know, and these things can affect people their whole lives.
They can. You make a very good point. And to that point, you know, a part of, and thank you so much. Thank you so much for calling in, and thank you so much for contributing to the conversation, Rosie. Always a pleasure to chat with you, and always a pleasure to hear the insights and the nuggets that you have to share, because they are of value. And I can't wait for my listeners to hear your story, because you've lived through some stuff, and I know that you're going to be sharing that with them relatively soon. Within the next few weeks, you guys are going to hear more from Rosie Reed. But to her point, Shania, that when I was younger, my family called me Gabigail, which should have been, like Rosie was saying, it was a negative thing that they were meaning it as, you know, because it was like I talked all the time. Well, guess who got a radio show? Hallelujah. Can I get an amen to that? See, what the devil means, and I ain't calling my family, I ain't calling my family no devil, so I don't want them to hear this wrong. But what the devil meant for bad, the Lord turned it around for good. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah. So grateful that God makes all things new, you know. God makes all things new. He turns things around for our good.
He really does, and, you know, what's interesting about what Rosie said is that unfortunately, everyone operates based on their base. So we're not meaning to be hurtful and harmful. We're not consciously saying, you know, I'm going to give my family this negative word, you know, nickname or whatever. It's just what people have done. They're used to it. So we do what we know. And that's where we have to have a consciousness of understanding that, wait. These words that I'm speaking, they are powerful because they will either become a plus or a minus. And so not only do I have the responsibility to be aware of the words that have been spoken and how they are affecting me, but I have the responsibility, the greater responsibility, to select my words wisely. How will I now, in the words that I speak, be a plus or minus in your life? And that's how we can break the chains and the cycles, by being consciously aware, because we can't change what has already happened. And people do what they know to do. They don't mean no harm. Like, they didn't mean any harm. Gabigail.
Yep.
And now, guess what? You're Gabigail.
Hallelujah.
But at the time, it may not have been a positive, you know, but now it has been turned around. But many of us, you know, hey, Fohead, how you doing? Now that, you know, I mean, so all of these different buck teeth, whatever it may be, they're just thinking it's cute. It's a word of endearment, but not conscious on how will this word affect the other person. And so I want to challenge each of us that are listening in to consciously be aware of the words that you speak and the words you receive.
That's good. That's good. You know, also, just to stay in that same lane of being conscious, challenging people to be conscious of the words that they speak and the words that they are listening to. How many times have you woken up, and this is just a general question or statement, I should say, for those that are listening, have you woken up and or you oh, God, I just don't feel well. Oh, I feel sick. Oh, I'm so tired. Oh, I'm so fat. Oh, my goodness. These pants are so tight. I'm so fat. Or, you know, we speak, so before we even go out the door to then take on whatever the world's words may be, from the gas station, the grocery store, to the boss, or to the children, the mate, the husband, before we even get to the outside radioactive words that are coming towards us, we have already made these statements. How many times have you looked in the mirror, woken up, you know, and you got bags under your eyes, and you're like, oh, these bags are big as a suitcase, or, oh, look at these marks on my face, or, oh, my hair is thinning, or, oh, my God. Before you even get out of the house, you have already put on 5, 10, and sometimes 15 negative words that you then dress up and wear out of the house. So then when someone else puts another word at you or makes a comment that's negative, you've now lathered that on and put that on your back as well. And we said earlier that it takes for every one negative comment, negative criticism, it takes about 25 compliments to replace it. So if you're leaving the house with thinking and negativity from go, you wake up in the morning, you're asleep, you've been asleep all night, but you wake up complaining about your skin, your face, the dark circles, your hair, or whatever your ism is. For me, it may be my weight, or whatever it may be. You're now putting on labels on yourself that you are going to now have to hear 25 compliments in order to counteract, dispel, and disprove. So why not start off looking in the mirror? Thank you, God, that I have two eyes that can see me, that I can look into a mirror and see. Thank you that I am in my right mind able to see a reflection in the mirror, make out the reflection in the mirror. Thank you that I can stand on my own two feet and glance in this mirror. Thank you that I got arms to brush my teeth. I mean, I could go on and on and on, because I am not at a lack of encouragement for all that God does, from being able to hear and see and my heart working, my feet and my arms being able to move, and blood pumping through my vein, and not being hooked up to an oxygen machine or sitting in a wheelchair. All of the plethora of things that God does for you, and instead we're sitting there complaining about a scar, a pimple, and a little fat on our body, when God is like, hey, you're not 6 feet underneath some dirt inside of a coffin right now. Do you know how many kids lying up in a hospital bed because they were shot last, being in a critical mode and wearing these words before we leave the house? How about a little gratitude for what God has given us? The fact that you have skin, and that you don't have third degree burns over your entire body, having done 15 to 20 skin grafts that some kids have had to do, or a cliff lip. There's so many things and people that are worse off than you. And before I continue preaching a sermon that I wasn't trying to preach, I want to go ahead and welcome another caller. We've got a caller on the line at the last four digits are 0800. You're on the line with Mara Gale and, of course, Coach Adams. Welcome to the conversation.
Hi. Great show, as always. I just love your guests and love you. You know what? From now on.
Say your name. I know who you are, but say your name for our listeners.
Paulita.
Hey, Paulita, PJ. Welcome to the conversation, PJ.
Okay. So no more negative. No more saying, oh, I can't wear these pants. That was me today. I am telling you, you just made me realize that no more negative words about, oh, I can't fit these pants. Oh, you know, that just made me feel so good. So from now on, no more words out of my mouth, leaving out of my house early in the morning saying another negative thing about me. Oh, my hair don't look right. Oh, you know, this is sticking up, or the pants is too short, or they're too tight. I need to lose weight. I'm too fat. No more of that. No more.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for letting me come in. Thank you. Great show, as always.
You're more than welcome.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you, PJ. Shania, Coach Adams, I thank you for having this conversation, for even speaking about the power of words, because it is because of the seed that you sowed to say, let's have a discussion about the power of words, that we're able to allow our arms to reach and our words to reach and arrest the airways and stop people from having stinking thinking and help them reprogram in some stuff. So I'm so incredibly grateful that I have a friend that is truthful, transparent, and so in overflow and abundance that people can have a sip from her saucer. So I thank you. I thank you. I thank God for the day we ever met. And so I know the time is kind of going a little fast, and there's so much more that I'm sure you want to unpack. So I'm going to defer the floor to you. And if there's some thoughts that you'd like to leave with our listeners and some action items or challenges, I'd love to give you the floor to be able to share that with them. And if they need to take notes, just give them a heads up. Tell them, hey, pull out your pen and paper, and then share some nuggets with our listeners so that we can help our listeners grow. What we want to do is help you be better, and we want you to start practicing when? Now, right? Coach always says 0 to 3 seconds, that thought will be gone. So the best time to do a thing is now. Don't say, oh, I'm going to write it down. Write it down now. Don't say, I'm going to start working on it next week. Start working on it now. So, Shania, go ahead and share with our listeners any of the thoughts that you have on your heart of how they can kind of put feet to fire and walk it out.
Absolutely, and I thank your last caller, PJ, Pauletta. Thank you. Did I say it correctly, Pauletta?
Yes, it is Pauletta. PJ, we call her PJ.
Okay, okay. Yes. Perfect. Thank you so much for chiming in. And the one thing that I want to leave with your listening audience is this. Words literally are assets or liabilities. Assets or liabilities. And so what I think that PJ recognizes is that I have to count the cost of these words that I'm speaking, and that's what I want to challenge the listening audience to recognize, that with every word you receive and with every word you speak, count the cost. And ask yourself a question. Are these words building someone up, building me up, or are these words tearing me down or tearing someone else down? And I want to give you a few action steps, because when we have a greater awareness, that's when we can change. And so that's the first thing. We must have an awareness, have a consciousness of the words that are spoken around us, and determine, are these words the energy, as someone else said, the energy that I desire? Because words are energy. They release into the atmosphere, and when we release them into the atmosphere, we give power to those words that are spoken. And this is something that we didn't talk about, that our bodies react. Those 50 trillion cells in our body react to those words. They know if it's good or not so good because of how we begin to feel. When I hear a negative word or somebody saying, you know, they can't and they buy into all the negativity, I feel icky on the inside. I mean, my body feels icky. So if we have a greater awareness, and I don't know your story, I don't need to know your story. What I do know is that there's power in words even from the speaker. We spoke about my dad early on. Because a doctor, someone an authority figure, someone that is an expert in a particular field, said to him, you may not make it off the table. Those words that were spoken at that moment became death to him. He didn't make it off the table. He made it off physically, but emotionally he never made it off. And 3 months after that procedure, he ended up passing on. Because of the fear and how those words affected him. So be aware, recognize that words do matter. A not-so-wise man, as I say now, said sticks and stones. Because he wasn't wise. He was not wise.
No.
Sticks and stones. A not-so-wise man spoke that. So words do matter. They carry weight. And when we go ahead, Mara.
I was going to chime in because you said we didn't get a chance to touch on how the body reacts, and I just got to do a quick little drive-by. How many times have you heard somebody say something negative to you and immediately you had a headache? Or you felt like you needed to go use the restroom because your stomach got turned in some kind of knot, or someone said something and it made you feel so small and insignificant that you found yourself in the bathroom crying your eyes out because it broke something on the inside. I say words build or they break down. It's the same thing. Shania was saying, Coach Adams was talking about counting the cost, and that's the truth. When we hear words like that, our body has a visceral reaction to the negativity. It's a toxin. It is something that is toxic to your ears. It is toxic to who God made you to be. And so your body wants to reject it. Just like when you sneeze, it's because the hairs in your nostrils are trying to prevent something from entering into your body. When you begin to regurgitate, it's because something that shouldn't have been in your system has caused it to be upset, and your body is trying to kick it out. When you get a boil or a cyst, it is because some toxin or poison was put into your body, and your body is trying to rid you from it. So the same thing in that medical way is the same reaction that your body has to words, and sometimes it manifests and you acting it out, and sometimes it manifests and you feeling sad or tired or depressed. And so, Sean, what Coach Adams is trying to share with you is you have to guard those ear gates. You have to guard those ear gates like you would a thief being near your purse. You have to guard your eye gates, saying to you that you start seeing in your mind. You got to guard that eye gate like you lock your door at night so that a burglar doesn't come inside your home and steal your valuable things. You've got to guard even the words that come out of your mouth like you would guard if you're chewing and you're having a conversation. You know to not chew and have a conversation because food will start flowing out of your mouth. So if you don't have something good to say, if you don't have something that you don't want to boomerang and come back on you, mute your mouth. Turn your thoughts to God and tell him to guard your mouth and your heart so that the words that you begin to speak to someone before you break them down, before you tear them up, before you destroy them or annihilate some purposeful thing in their life, because contrary to popular belief, when it says do not kill or steal, you can kill somebody's dreams by the words you plant. You can kill or steal somebody's joy by the words you say. And the same is being done to you. Your dreams are being stolen because somebody who can't do what you do, who didn't get the memo that God sent to you and was not on the three-way phone conversation that God had with you, telling you that he placed purpose deep inside of your being. And when he told you that he has great plans for you and they are plans to prosper you and plans to bring about an expected end, just because somebody wasn't two-way messaged in on that and wasn't included on a three-way chat doesn't make it a non-truth. So don't let other people's words, as Coach is saying, influence your day-to-day. Count up the cost. She says, have an awareness of your assets and your liability. If you got to make a list of the people who are toxic in your life and speaking negativity and a list of those who build you up, then make that list and only take that call and spend that time with those people who Coach calls assets or versus liabilities in your life. Count up those costs. Sorry, Coach. I got a little. You getting me stirred up, girl. You got me stirred up.
Well, you know what? What I'm going to say is, and you capitalize it, I'm going to remind the audience, one, the awareness, two,
yes,
recognize, and three, understand. And I'm going to pause there with understand or stop there, because if they want more around the power of words, they're going to have to pick up the change book. Send an email,
yes,
to admin@coachadams.com. Admin@coachadams.com. So you
time
can read.
There you go.
admin@coachadams.com so that they can get more around this awareness. But understand, as we spoke about so much, that words are seeds and words shape our beliefs. And then when we speak these words, when we speak them, it's a transformation of what's on the inside that's coming out. Because we're spiritual beings having a human experience. So when people encounter us, they're encountering not the flesh and blood. They're encountering every word that has been spoken on the inside of us. And so if we don't have this awareness, what's going to bleed out of us is that negativity. What's going to bleed out of us are those words that said you can't, you won't, you're stupid, you're ugly, you're this, you're that, versus the positive, because of the ratio of one positive word being spoken to every 25 negative words that have caused this thinking and an emotional bank account that we really need to do some work on. And we can do
Hallelujah.
It. Don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged.
Don't be discouraged. Coach Adams, it's our show is up. I need you to just tell people where they can reach you right quick because we're about to roll the music.
CoachAdams.com, CoachAdams.com, CoachAdams.com.
Perfect. They can get the book there. They can find out about your coaching ability. CoachAdams.com. You can also find out about our social media links from CoachAdams.com. We appreciate you tuning in. Don't forget we're on iTunes, Google Play, and the Stitcher app. All you have to do is go to Up To Me Radio. That's Up the number 2 Me Radio. And then search OMG Omara Gale. I'm your host. You can find me everywhere on social media at Mara Gale. God bless you. Be encouraged and choose your words wisely, as Coach would say. Good night.
Everyone likes to be heard and then listened to. So we want you to set your dial.